Good morning. So back, I don't know, several months ago, the board met at Craig's house in his basement, and we started talking about the future of Broadway United Methodist Church, specifically what goals we wanted to put into place over the coming year that we could continue to follow. And so the board established three goals. I've shared these with you before, but sometimes I think it's important that we continue to share them so that you have an idea of where leadership is going and why certain things are taking place. The first goal that we established was to form a prayer team. The second goal was to start and begin small groups in our church, specifically to have a new members class and to start a women's ministry. And the last was to reach out and to form an outreach committee and to do one outreach event per quarter. And so those are our goals this year, and those are the goals that we have been working toward ever since we established them in March. And so the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about those three goals. We are starting a series this week called BUM Connect, Broadway United Methodist Connect. And that, if you look at the graphic on the screen, that hashtag is the hashtag that the outreach team created to put on Facebook. How many of you know what a hashtag is? Some of you. How many of you have no idea what that means? And that is absolutely okay. But the idea is, through these various goals, we want to make connections. We want to make connections with God. We want to make connections with one another. And we want to connect others to God. And so we believe that we can do that through prayer, through intentional discipleship, and through mission and outreach. And so today, our focus is on prayer. Throughout my life, I'm kind of ditzy sometimes, if you get to know me very well. I think Aaron would agree, although he's writing over there right now. He's saying yes. And so often I will get into some sort of project and I will come to this place where I'm ready for things to begin working and I recognize something isn't right. Whatever it is, my hair dryer won't turn on, or I can't get my computer to work correctly. And oftentimes, when I realize what is going on, it's that I have not plugged in whatever item I am trying to use. Anyone else done that? Maybe? Okay, I'm not the only one. Whenever we establish a goal or a task, we can work and work and work to get to the end goal. But if we don't make the right connection, it's not going to work. And I especially believe that is true in the life of the church. If we don't connect with God, if we don't seek God, if we don't discern God's will in the midst of all of the things we are doing, if we fail to make that divine connection, whatever we are planning, whatever we are plotting, whatever work we are doing, we will be unsuccessful if we don't allow God to rest in the center and be a part of it. And fundamentally, I believe that that connection with God starts in prayer. I would venture to say that it is a goal of all of us to pray on a regular basis, right? We are called to pray without ceasing, we are told in God's word. How many of us pray without ever stopping? Anyone? George? Okay, I will admit, this is something that I am a failure at often. I will go throughout my daily grind and realize when I come to the end of the day, especially when I think it went terribly, and I will say, Cassie, when did you pray today about that? And I will often realize that I forgot to pray, that I failed to include God. Now, that does not mean to say that when we pray that things will go super easy, right? That's not what I'm saying. But our prayer lives matter. Connecting with God in personal relationship matters. As we enter into Luke's gospel, if you're kind of confused today, I understand, because our scripture reading really has nothing to do with prayer, right? Remember the scripture reading when I'm starting to talk about prayer? There may seem to be some disconnect. Hopefully, I will get you connected today. But if you read Luke's gospel, particularly in comparison to the other gospels, Luke emphasizes on prayer more than any of the other synoptics, more than Matthew does, and more than Mark does. Luke records 9 prayers of Jesus, all of which but 2 are found in none of the other gospels. Luke associates prayer with some of the most important moments in Jesus' life. If you read through Luke's gospel, you will see that Jesus prays at his baptism. He prays after a day of working miracles. He prays before he chooses the 12. Before Peter's confession of faith and his first prediction of the passion, Jesus prays alone. Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration to pray. He prays with gladness and thanksgiving after the mission of the 70 disciples because of the Father's revelation to the little ones. His example leads the disciples to ask, how should we pray? And he says, when you pray, say this prayer, right? The prayer that we pray each and every week. I think Kyle did a sermon on that just a few weeks ago. Prayer matters to Jesus, especially in Luke's gospel. And so I think it's really important that whenever we look at any passage in Luke, that we understand the other things that matter to Luke. And prayer is one of them. So we come to our text for today, and we are right in the middle of Luke. And when we come to this text, Jesus, he bookends it with 2 parables before we meet this crippled woman. And so when we come to this part of the text, we meet this woman who is crippled with a spirit for 18 years. And we discover that she is unable to stand up straight. And she does not ask for healing, if you notice in the text. But yet Jesus comes to her anyway. He calls for her and he sets her apart and he lays his hands upon her. And suddenly she is able to stand up straight and begin praising God. And if you, I want you to think about this life that she has been living for 18 years. She has been accustomed, if not resigned, to her lifelong serious illness. For 18 years, this woman has been unable to stand up straight and look at the sun, the stars, and the sky. For 18 years, she has been accustomed to looking down. That any time she tries to look up, it is with major difficulty. For 18 years, it's almost like her world is upside down. For 18 years, she has felt disconnect, not only from God, but from the rest of the world, simply because of this physical condition. And yet, after 18 years, she's like, this is my life, right? This is what's happening to me. Nothing is ever going to change. And so she meets Jesus. Well, she doesn't really meet Jesus, right? She just happens to be in the same synagogue that Jesus is in. And Jesus is there teaching. And it says, when he saw her, he called her. When he saw her, he called her and he said, woman, come here. He said, you are set free from your ailment. and he lays his hands on her, and she is healed. If you read the first 12 chapters of Luke before we get to this part of the text, we see Jesus in lots of different contexts. He's healing, particularly about Sabbath. In chapter 6, verse 5, he calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And just a few verses later, he determined that healing on this sacred day is to do good. So when we get to this particular passage, we shouldn't necessarily be surprised that Jesus decides to heal this woman. But what I think is interesting about this healing is that the woman doesn't necessarily ask for it, does she? Jesus recognizes her pain and her discomfort and heals her. And the other thing is, she's been suffering with this for 18 years, right? So when I was reading this, I wondered, why today, Jesus? Why today? She could have gone another day, right? It wasn't like the little girl who was dying on her deathbed, right? It wasn't an emergency. It didn't have to happen. Jesus didn't have to break the rules in order to heal this woman. He simply could have waited. I'm sure he could have said, hey, give me your phone number or your Instagram handle, and I will IM you, and I will come to your house in just a few days, right? We do this all the time, right, in the life of ministry. When something's not emergent, we say, hold on, okay, when can I pencil you in on my calendar? Jesus could have done this. I'm sure his calendar was busy, but I'm sure he could have found the time. But he chooses this moment, this day, to heal her. We also have another person in the story, and it's the leader of the synagogue, right? And he gets mad. He gets angry because Jesus is breaking some rules. How many of you have ever heard of the Enneagram? Any of you? Some of you. An Enneagram is one of those fancy things that you, like, take a survey and figure out, and it tells you what number you are, right? And basically, it's like kind of like a personality test. There's all sorts of these. But I really like the Enneagram and for various reasons. But on the Enneagram, I am a 6. I am a loyalist. I believe in rules and that rules are important. Aaron is shaking his head. Yes, she does. If we go 1 mile over the speed limit, I'm like, there's a speed limit for a reason. It's not a speed suggestion. I believe that you follow certain order and protocols to get things done, even though I'm kind of disorganized. But I still like order, and I like rules, and I like structure. And so I am very much like this synagogue leader. I would be right up his alley. I'd be like, no, 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 you have 6 other days. This is not an emergency. This is not the day for this. You can do this tomorrow. You can do this next week, but today, no. And I think we rag on this leader a whole lot because we're like, who are you to question Jesus? Let's be honest, that's all of us. All of us question Jesus. All of us say, Jesus, really? Like, that's really what you want me to do? We read the Gospels and we're like, nuh-uh. There's no way we're actually supposed to love our neighbors. The angry old men that tell us to get off the lawn, right? We can't possibly love him. We question Jesus all the time. And if we're all honest, probably many of us like structure and rules too. Like things to be in a specific way because there's a specific reason that they're done that way. And I will tell you that the Sabbath is important, right? And the Sabbath is important to Jesus, too. Jesus is not dismissing the power of the Sabbath. But what Jesus is saying to us through this, even though he doesn't have to, even though it's not an emergency, is Jesus is saying, you can connect with me all the time. That the power and presence of Jesus doesn't just stop and start at a specific moment, but Jesus is here and ready and willing all the time. Jesus extends beyond boundaries and rules and regulations and customs and tradition and religion and doctrine. And Jesus works in really unexpected ways that we can't always understand. And when we connect with Jesus, that's when true transformation begins. It often happens in the most unexpected ways to the most unexpected people in the most unexpected times. Particularly this woman, right? She was not expecting to connect with Jesus. At least not in the way that she did. But here's the thing about this woman. She may not have asked for Jesus to heal her. She was just accustomed to this life. But she still sought Jesus out, right? She wandered into the synagogue that day. Probably not by chance, because she was an outcast in society. Jesus liked to touch all sorts of outcasts of society, right? The leper, the bleeding woman, over and over and over again. Those are the people that Jesus reaches out to. And so she came in seeking something. She didn't come in seeking to be healed. But she did come in seeking to make a connection with Jesus. When we pray, I think that this should be at the very root of what we are truly praying for. I've been reading a book. It's called A Vocabulary of Faith, Amazing Grace. And I shared one of these readings with the board last week. But one of the words that Kathleen Norris presents in this book is prayer. And she says, prayer often originates in our own desires, right? We cry out to God when we want something to happen. But it should quickly move beyond them, into our life with others, and toward the greater society. And then she paints this image. She says, imagine prayer like a circle, and God is at the center. And your life is a line from the edge of the circle to the center of the circle. It's a way of connecting to God. But the more lines that go in there, the more other people begin to connect with God, the more that circle begins to fill in, right? And the closer we become to one another. This is the power of prayer. It brings us closer to God, and it brings us closer in community, and it brings us closer to the rest of the world. It transforms us beyond what we want to what God wants for us. It takes us from a place of hurt and from a place of bending over to where we can only see our feet in front of us, to posturing us in such a way that we can see the sun in a new and exciting and emboldened way. So part of our goals here at Broadway is to form a prayer team, right? That's just a small piece of creating a culture of prayer here at the life of Broadway. And so I have asked George to kind of help us lead that prayer team. But part of the reason that we've decided to create this team of people is not just so we can check something off a list, right? Not just so we can meet a goal, but it truly is so we can make new connections with God, so that hopefully we can make connections with each other, and we can make connections with those outside of this room. Because each and everything that we do begins with this relationship. And so I would invite you, if you feel called, to be on that prayer team. We had a start date planned, and some things got thrown into that. But be on the lookout for the start of that prayer team. But if you are interested in being on that prayer team, whether you want to be at our weekly meeting, or whether you want to receive an email so that you can be in prayer, or whether you want to send prayer cards to those who are hurting, I would ask that you please connect with George or connect with me, and we will get you on the right track. As we close today, I think it's really important to remember that in so many ways we are like this woman, and we have become resolved to whatever our lives are like. And in each moment, God is there waiting for us. God is there reaching out to touch you and me and our community to make us whole again. Let us pray. Holy God, on this day, we long for connection with you. We long to be in your holy and wonderful presence. God, we long to see your face. And God, we know that you would do anything to find us, that there is no mountain too high, no valley too deep. There is nothing standing in the way of you reaching out to us. And God, I just ask that we would have your strength, and that you would give us the power to go out into the world and to heal others with your love. God, we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.